Today's reading is taken from Luke's Gospel, chapter 12, verses 13 to 21. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?" Then he said to them, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions." And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry.'" But God said to him, "You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich towards God."
Thanks, Liz. Well, when I came to prepare this sermon, I did think to myself, why did I choose this topic? Because this parable does challenge us, I think. Wealth is one of those hot topics where we need to hear God speaking, and I would imagine that many of us may well fail in this area. But first of all, the context. Verse 13, someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." The likely context is that a father has died without leaving a will, and his two sons inherit. But according to the law at that time, the inheritance could only be divided when the oldest son agreed to it. So the person asking Jesus for help is most likely the younger brother, and he's expressing his complaint that the older brother hasn't agreed to divide the inheritance. And at the time of Jesus, if you were a rabbi, a teacher, you'd be expected to bring an expert opinion based on the law of Moses in a situation like this. But in verse 14, Jesus refuses to judge, and instead he goes on to tell a story. And whenever Jesus responds like this, it means that he's seen something wrong in the situation. So the story is meant to help people think through the issues. And the key is in verse 15, where Jesus says, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." And I think the key words are greed and abundance. And Jesus illustrates this in his story. So he starts off in verse 16. The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. Now, we should stop and note how the man is described, because it isn't an ordinary man or a poor man. He's a rich man who already has plenty. And then he suddenly finds himself with even more because the crop is plentiful. So it's not just a good enough crop, it's a good crop. So this man, already blessed with riches, is blessed even more. But then there's a problem. Verse 17, he thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." And the implication here is that his storage facilities are already full. So perhaps crops that he's grown previously, goods that he's bought, things he's acquired, they already fill his barns. So what was he going to do? Well, in verse 18, he says, "This is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and I'll store all my grain and my goods, and I'll say to myself, you've plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry. And actually, doesn't that sound like a good idea? Because this man has got himself security, not just for now or the short term, but for the long term. He can relax. He probably isn't really going to have to do much work on his estate for the future because he's got everything he needs. And isn't there also an echo of scripture when he says, eat, drink, and be merry? Doesn't the book of Ecclesiastes have words like these? So isn't he a wise man? And depending on your stage in life, you might feel a little uneasy at this point because you might be thinking, well, I've saved up for the future. I've got my pension pot and my mortgage is paid off. And as soon as I retire, I'm going to relax and take things easy. Is there anything so wrong in that? Well, the significance, of course, lies in what's missing. Because for all his riches, this man is poor in other ways. And if my zapper was working, I would be able... Doug, can you move it on for me? Thank you. And his poverty lies in three things. He has no sense of God, no sense of others, and no sense of eternity. So he has no sense of God. Doug, if you could move on for me. Thanks. So his words do echo the book of Ecclesiastes, because we read things like this in Ecclesiastes. People can do nothing better than to eat and drink and find satisfaction in their work. But then the writer of Ecclesiastes goes on to say, this too I see is from the hand of God, for without him, who can eat or find enjoyments? The scriptures see God as the source of everything, but this rich man doesn't see that at all. Verse 18, I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods, and I'll say to myself, etc. So everything is centered on him, and he doesn't realize that everything belongs to God and that blessings come from God. He himself didn't make the rain fall or the sun shine so that this bumper crop was produced, but he has no awareness that God did those things. He's no feeling of gratitude towards God, no sense of responsibility for what God has given. And those of you who were here a couple of weeks ago when Tim spoke to us, you may remember in the parable of the vineyard workers, how they had come to view the vineyard as theirs. It wasn't. They were just the tenants, but they'd forgotten this. And I wonder, what about us? Are we grateful for all that we have? Or have we fallen into the trap of thinking that everything God gives is mine? So the rich man has no sense of God, and he has no sense of others. In this parable, he's actually very isolated. Verse 17, he thought to himself, what shall I do? You will know that I'm very fond of the book Jesus Through Middle Eastern Eyes by Kenneth Bailey. And he says this, in the Middle East, village people make decisions about important topics after long discussions with their friends. Even trivial decisions are made after hours of discussion with family and friends. But in this parable, we don't see any family and friends. And maybe by becoming rich, the rich man has cut himself off from others. Maybe as his land has expanded, his friends have got further and further away. He doesn't even show any awareness of the servants and the slaves in his household who would do all the tearing down of barns and building bigger ones for him. They don't get a mention. And he certainly isn't planning on sharing his wealth with anyone. Leviticus 23:22 says, "When you reap the harvest of your land, do not reap to the very edges of your field or gather the gleanings of your harvest. Leave them for the poor and the foreigner among you." And that's just one of many instructions from God concerning caring for the poor. But the rich man has no awareness of this. And I wonder where we are today with regard to our goods and our possessions. Are we very protective of what's mine? Do we hold it close for the future? Or are we open to the needs of others and willing to share? So the rich man has no sense of God, no sense of others, and no sense of eternity. It doesn't register with him that actually he has very little control over his life, and he certainly can't decide how long he's going to live. Apparently, he hasn't even thought of the possibility of his death and what that might mean for his plans. He hasn't understood that he's a steward of the good things, and he can't take his wealth with him. The other night, while I was thinking about this, as I was doing my dishes, as you do, I was looking out of my window at my garden, and it's just always gorgeous at this time of year. I've got my grass, I've got my flowers, there's trees and sky behind the fence, and it's all very wonderful. And I thought, well, actually, you know, I'm here for now, and it might appear to be mine for now, but one day I will move on, one day I will die, and somebody else will come in and have this house and these possessions. We can't take any of it with us. And so we need to consider what we are putting our efforts into while we are alive. What are the things in life that really matter? Now, the rich man apparently didn't have any thoughts like these. And so, in verse 20, God said to him, "You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself?" And Jesus summarizes, this is how it will be with those who store up things for themselves but are not rich towards God. And so if we go back to that original request from the person in the crowd for Jesus to sort out their inheritance, we see that Jesus actually wants people to think much more widely about wealth rather than just thinking about what they can get for themselves. And he's actually deploring an attitude of greed, a focus on acquiring more and more. So what does this mean for us? Well, I think it's important to say, first of all, that the Bible does encourage us to work and to provide for ourselves and our families. And if you've ever read the book of Proverbs, there are some quite amusing and quite pithy sayings there about what happens when you're lazy and what the bad effects are. And one of the verses is, "A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a thief, and scarcity like an armed man." And in the New Testament, Paul encourages Christians to provide for their families and to do honest work. For example, anyone who's been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. So it's not wrong to have money to work, to receive a wage, to create wealth, to support ourselves and our families and others in need. But I guess the problem for us, for you and for me in the 21st century, is that we live in a society where we're under pressure all the time to acquire and to consume more and more. And we get drawn into it without realizing. I found myself watching a YouTube video the other week, as you do, and this was about how to put on makeup. And I thought, well, I might pick up a few tips here. And as I watched, this woman puts on at least 15 different products on her face. 15. There was plumper and filler and concealer and contouring and goodness knows what else. And I thought, goodness sakes, who says we need to put all this stuff on our faces? And I think it's a complete con. I don't think we need all those products. But it's just an example of how manufacturers want us to buy more, to buy their products. You may have noticed how it can be quite difficult to get a space in a car park these days because cars are getting bigger all the time. Or the latest mobile phone comes out and everybody has to have one. Well, we don't. You don't need a new phone unless the one you've got isn't working anymore. And Jesus' words are very countercultural when he says, life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. And he says a few verses after this parable, life is more than food and the body more than clothes. And I was thinking it was either ironic or inspired that I'd chosen this parable on the day when we're having our offering for home mission. Because I can very easily, like the rich man, slip into the ways of the world. You know, I can happily spend 12 or more pounds on tea and cake for a friend and I in town. And then I'm thinking, oh, what can I afford to give to home mission? So this parable challenges us deeply about our material possessions and about getting more and about whether we will let these things take our focus away from God, whether we view our money, our homes, even our time and our talents as ours, or whether we understand that we are stewards entrusted with these things by God. The parable challenges our desire to acquire and how we are easily swayed into the ways of the world, spending huge amounts on ourselves without noticing. And as followers of Jesus, we are called to be different to the rich man. We need to keep a lively awareness of God, of others, and eternity. The things that really matter, like relationships, introducing people to Jesus, making the world a better place, these are things that need to be a vital part of our lives. And these are the things that if we get involved in them, will make us rich towards God. And they're not things that you find on the hangers in shops or in catalogues online. They come from our hearts, hearts that have been touched by God's Spirit. So our focus needs to be on God, on the things he teaches in his word. And unlike the rich man, we need to be part of a community of like-minded people, other believers, where we listen to God together and encourage one another to follow his ways. So I wonder what might Jesus be challenging you to today? Maybe it's to start the practice of tithing, where we just give a portion of our income to God's work. Maybe it's to give away a bit of a windfall that you received unexpectedly. Maybe it's to use some of your spare time to help at church or in the community. It could be as simple as opening your home to others, to invite them in to enjoy friendship, and to share the resources that you have. Whatever the challenge, we should remember that one day we will all face a reckoning. There'll be a day when our lives are demanded of us, and we know that Jesus has won salvation for us, but we will be asked to account for what we did with the blessings we receive from God in this life. And so maybe as we all go home for lunch today, it's time for a bit of an honest audit of our possessions and our abilities and our time. An opportunity to say to God, however much or however little I have, I see it's all from you and for you. Show me what you would like me to do with these resources. So let's be wise stewards and not rich fools. Amen.